You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Tita Begee on WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We can also be heard on the World Wide Web at our app, WWBC. Right, Ellen? On demand?
Teen10WWBC.com. You just click on that on-demand button, and you will hear us live all over the world.
It's different pretty having exciting. You sit over there. Now I have
live
to do this.
All over
I know.
World.
It's
yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are live all over the world. And for our listeners who are tuning in today to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, every Monday, Ellen and I get together in the studio with really wonderful friends, people that we meet here and there and everywhere. And Lord knows the good people come my way.
Yes, they do.
Everywhere I go, I pick up somebody who can come on a show and share their story with us or share what they're doing here in a community to make our world a better place. And of course, one of those people today is Athena Allen, who's here.
Thank you
for being on the show.
Appreciate you.
And Joanna Star Kearns. I don't know why, but Hines. I love seeing your entire, Hines. I love seeing your name. It's that star. You are a star.
Yes.
We've all met you. And like you were saying, you and I met through fundraising for Serene Harbor.
Yeah, I've seen you at a number of different things supporting the community.
Right, and Ellen, of course, Ellen and I met through ABWA, and we continued being friends, and we have this show together that we meet here every Monday.
For the last 9 years, believe it or not.
Yes, this is like it is, and it's like this is an extension of our living rooms.
Yes.
Because thanks to Paul, and I know you appreciate us being here, keeping community radio alive as well. So today's show is going to be all about volunteering, spirituality, giving back to the community. And, you know, I think a lot of it, too, is finding yourself. And when we find ourselves, what do we do, right? I mean,
yes,
we realize that life is short. People say that a lot, but do they actually think about it is short? So many people, you know, you say your prayers in the night, you go to bed, whether you believe in God or you don't. I tend to believe in a higher power. I do. And I say my prayers. And then I wake up next day and I'm like, look out world, here I come. Because there's so much to be accomplished.
Your enthusiasm.
Right. I just love being alive, right? So on that happy note, I was on Facebook the other day and I said, you know what, I need to fill the spot for today because my guests canceled. And then Joanna was on Facebook too. And I sent her private message and I said, would you like to come on the show or sponsor a show? And she said, I'd love to.
And you picked a great person. Joanna, I've been friends for many, many years.
Right. And I know that I picked her the same day that Athena was coming on. And I thought it would be a really good fit. Because sometimes we have to have a fit for that hour.
Mm-hmm.
So two fantastic guests. And I'm really, really excited about it. Now, a lot of people are retiring. They're our age. I mean, I'm 55. I know my grandchildren think I'm an auntie, not a grandma at this point. They said, you don't look like a grandma, but I am. And I have a lot of friends who are retiring, and they want to know, what next? What do you do after you retire? Do you look around for a group or an organization that you can belong to? People are now looking for a place to belong, a place to give back, a place where their time is worthy, where they feel like they're part of a team. And Joanna has found such a team. So I'm going to have Joanna talk to our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and tell us a little bit about herself and how she got involved in the charities that she's involved in.
Well, I've always wanted to be a meaningful part of the communities I've lived in. And I moved to Brevard County about 20 years ago. I retired from my previous profession working for an art museum. And the people I've met here, I've met through nonprofits. I met Ellen probably almost 20 years ago through Women's Council of Realtors.
Absolutely.
And she came to my house to facilitate a sort of retreat among the leadership team going in. So that's been quite a while. Sita, we've both been at many fundraisers for causes that are important to us. And I started as a volunteer with a church group at the Daily Bread Soup Kitchen in downtown Melbourne. And then I had a kind of falling out with organized religion, but not with feeding people. So now on Sundays, I'm there at 7 o'clock
right.
every Sunday and on holidays.
And you graduated from the School of Business at Johns Hopkins.
Yes.
So you've given quite a lot back through your professional career. Then you were a real estate agent, and now you're retired. And you look great, by the way.
Well, thank you.
It agrees with
you. I'm
pretty
good for 67, having had three cancers. But
awesome.
I'm a fighter, you know.
Awesome.
Absolutely
and
awesome.
Every
Joanna.
Day, I'm just excited that I wake up in my right mind. And that's what I always say at the soup kitchen. We have prayers first. And I say, thank you, God, that we're here and we're in our right minds. And, you know, pray for those who are in the hospital or who are in prison or who for some reason can't be here, because those are the ones that Christ loved the most.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you also were a communications officer at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. How interesting. You've had a great life, and it continues to be great. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I grew up, surprisingly, in all Quaker towns, and I kept waiting for the inner light to show me the way, and it didn't quite happen. So I had a number of experiences and a number of jobs and a number of interests, but I never really thought I had one calling, so I just kept going where I felt life was pulling me. And at the Art Museum, I was also head of the Diversity Task Force, and I said the woman who wanted me to start it up, and she was very high up African-American woman in the administration, I said, I'm just like a little Irish girl from South Philly. And she said, well, in this city, anyone who doesn't look like me is going to look like you, so we make a great team. And that's the way we started out. We went, visited every police department in the city, their neighborhood advisory committees, to talk about what can we do to reach out better to your community. And I've always been about outreach, I guess, and that's...
Yeah, and wonderful things happen when we get to know people.
Yeah.
I mean, I always say that, you know, the good Lord gave us these beautiful senses, you know, the sense to see, to touch, to feel, to love, to communicate, to give back. And so many people don't think about those senses, how wonderful it is to have them. But you took them and you went out and you did outreach with so many communities and so many people. And then something happened and, Joanna, you decided to move to Brevard County, Florida. So what was that little aha moment that said, I'm leaving and I'm going to Florida?
We were living in Philadelphia, and my husband and I both felt we were a little stuck in what we were doing. And he got one of the last great buyouts of the newspaper industry before they just fired them all. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, I want to quit my job too, because I feel like I'm in a rut. I've been at the Art Museum for 20 years. I need to do something other. And he got a fellowship to come to the Florida Institute of Technology to do an ecology study or something. He said, Florida, March. I love the ecology. That's good.
Yeah.
And we came down here. We didn't even know where Melbourne was. We had to look on a map. And we were here for a week, and we bought a condo, which made no sense. But we did it anyway, because we just fell in love with Melbourne Beach and with all the wildlife refuge and how low-rise it was and how low population and so Mayberry by the sea. Mm-hmm. And so then I said, why don't we just quit our jobs and move to Florida? Because we already have a place to live. So that's one step. And we just did it.
Yeah.
And I first got involved with the Sea Turtle Preservation Society because I was really into the turtles and all that. And then I've always been a feeder, so I got into that, and Women's Council of Realtors, because I was always more interested in the networking and the education, really, than I was in real estate, frankly, than in the business side.
Well, and you were such an educator, too. I mean, everybody that knew you that came in contact with you in your real estate career, because that's where I know you the most in that part of it. The philanthropy was great, too. But in the real estate part, it was like when you needed some resources, you need some help, go to Joanna, because she was the one that provided
that. Well, everyone in my family except me has been a teacher. So my father was a professor, my mother was a teacher, and then a biology librarian. My sister was a professor, my niece is a teacher in England. So I guess I just teach in my everyday life.
Well, I think it's in your DNA.
You didn't get the class.
I didn't get the degrees. My sister got her PhD shortly before she retired to the south of France, and my father was always saying my daughter became a doctorate in order to become a French peasant woman, but you know, she just wanted to do it because she could.
But you know, this is why Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is fun and unscripted, very informative and quite educational as well.
I'd like to talk to Joanna about the volunteering at the Turtle.
Yeah, you're gonna be connecting with someone.
Well,
but
it's ironic enough that you mentioned that, because I'm working on a documentary video of the sea turtles. I have quite a lot of footage.
Oh, that's great.
And yes.
So the universe is lining up right here again,
isn't it?
On Viewpoint with Sea Time.
I live on the beach, so I just I watch for the first turtle tracks, and it's just so magical to me to go out and look at them and to expose my grandchildren.
Joanne, I think you should get closer to your mic.
Okay.
So you also did some stuff with the King Center as well. You got involved with the King Center of the Performing Arts. So tell us what you did.
I did. It was my first broker when I got into real estate was on their fundraising committee, and she asked me to join her. And it was actually really great because they were trying to find ways of raising money, the maximum amount of money. But I convinced them, said, you can't do something that's not part of your core mission. It has to involve performance art because that's what you're about. Even if you don't make quite as much, you have to remind people why you're important, why people should support you. And so that was very meaningful to me to be able to help them get a little more focused on, you know, what their message had to be all the time. And I did the same thing with the Brevard Art Museum before it was taken over by FIT.
Yeah.
Of, you know, reaching out to the artists in the community. You have to show that you're a beacon for them, not that you're just something separate.
Well, you're a born teacher. You really are, because when you speak from the heart so people can see it and they listen. And I remember when you and I did fundraisers together for the domestic violence shelter, you were always running around helping out. You put the silent auctions on the table, picking up the papers. You encouraged so many of us to bid on items to help the shelter. And I know you made a difference with Serene Harbor.
Well, I'm very hands-on. I do the dirty work, you know, because somebody has to, and I can let somebody else go and be glamorous about it. But one with the scotch tape and the staplers.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, we have so many shows about volunteering.
We do.
And, you know, one of the messages that I wanted to make sure that the listeners heard about you, Joanna, specifically, is that you followed your heart. You know, you went to the things that you were really passionate about and then investigated them and made sure that you were a part of the organization. It wasn't like you just joined or set money in. You actually participated.
Yeah, but I really liked, I did a casino night fundraiser for an animal shelter at the Domestic Violence Center because a lot of people will put off leaving a violent situation if they can't take their animals because he will turn on the animals in her absence. And I thought, well, this is perfect for realtors because a lot of them really don't care that much about people, but they all love animals.
Right.
So I really focused on that, on puppies and kittens and everything. And we were very successful because I couldn't get them to care about the homeless. And actually, we had a state representative who'd been a realtor, and I was in Tallahassee, and I was talking about homelessness. And he said, well, I think if people are homeless, it's because they made bad decisions. I said, what about if they're three?
Right.
And they just kind of blew it off. But, you know, people look through the homeless. It must be their fault. And I think these aren't problem people. These are people with problems. It's just different, you know. Right. Maybe they made a bad decision. We've all made bad decisions. I've made bad decisions.
Sure.
But I've been blessed. I'm fortunate. I'm not homeless. But some people are because of a bad decision or because of just bad luck.
Yeah.
People have bad luck.
And how many
and there's
times
a lot of people that are the working poor, right? They are working.
And,
but
life
they still
is,
need
and
the
life
food.
Is
we
have
still
them,
need the
it
help.
Is.
All the time. We have people come in their fast food uniforms. They're working full time. They're doing the best they can. But you can't support a family on minimum wage.
Right.
Yes. And it's great that you recognize that because you share that with so many people. So what are some of the things you learned from volunteering?
I learned never to make judgments and don't assume anything. And I don't look through these people. I look at them. I look in their eyes. People look through them all the time. They feel so neglected. And I remember I save a piece of cake for somebody who only eats carrot cake. He won't get dessert otherwise. And I remember who wants unsweet tea and who wants sweet and who wants no ice. And, you know, it's somebody remembering them and noticing them as a human being. And that's so important, just that human connection. Every day, any way I can make, say, you're special. You're all special to me. You're all God's creatures.
Right. And most people give themselves 100% of themselves to an organization that they want to volunteer with. What do you say to people who say, well, is this place organized? What is their mission? People want to know what the mission of a place is before they give their time, their energy, their money. And some are very concerned, of course, because they're given money as well.
Yeah, well, I think it's very clear when you're a soup kitchen. We do a lot more than that. We have about 90 people a day take showers there. They get fresh clothes. They can do their laundry. They can learn computer skills. They can, you know, meet with the VA. We have a lot of services we do. But we also collect about 2 million pounds of food a year at Daily Bread, and we use about 25% of that, and the rest goes to food pantries across the county. So we're very into the community, and we can just show that with the numbers.
Yes.
And with the number of people who volunteer there.
But so is that the main place that you're volunteering now, the Daily Bread Soup Kitchen in Melbourne?
That's where I put the most time in.
Yes.
Right now, yes.
And do you feel like volunteering helps you spiritually as well?
Absolutely. It's so nurturing to me, because I realize every day how incredibly privileged I've been. I was born into an educated middle-class family. No credit due to me, but that's just the way it was. I had a lot of opportunities. I had an opportunity to get educated without being buried in debt. I've always had health insurance. I know how blessed I am, and that's a daily reminder, because these people have fallen out of the system in some way because they didn't have the support I did, that I could take a leave of absence from work when I was getting chemotherapy, and there were people who would pay my bills. Not everyone has that. I see that. You know, a lot of people, I think about half the bankruptcies in this country are due to people dealing with medical bills.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I look back at my life and I remember, you know, my parents had combined 18 children. I think you know my story. Yeah. And somebody was talking to me yesterday and they said, well, you don't really have to worry about health insurance or where your next meal is coming from. I said, but I've been there. And life experience, no pun intended, trumps everything in life. When you've been there where your mom has to seal a window in the night with a piece of cloth and a nail, or you're waking up the next day and you're brushing your teeth with a little piece of wood from, you know, or a little piece of a branch, or you're watching your mother and father struggle where the next meal is coming from, you understand poverty, you understand homelessness, you understand life, but there's something about certain people that if you meet the right people along the way and you're ambitious and you want to get ahead, you can. And I think the Daily Bread offers that to a lot of people. It offers them hope.
Yes, yes, it does. It definitely can be really transformative for people, because sometimes it's just a matter of them having the money for a down payment to get out of the woods and into an apartment and stuff. And there's just, that happens on a daily basis. And it's just so meaningful to see that happen. Somebody's life can turn around completely over a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah, we've had our good friend, Dr. Miriam Moore, who is the CEO of the Brevard Homeless Coalition. Mm-hmm. She's been here before. And we've talked about how many families in Brevard are living in their cars and the stigma and the shame of being homeless. And it is so wonderful to have a place like Daily Bread where someone can go and get a clean set of towels, clothing, a meal, and people do it with a smile. They don't judge.
Yeah, absolutely. We get a lot of people like that, because the problem is sometimes if we can find temporary housing for women and children, but not for the men. And people say, you know, we're a family. We don't split up. And that's why they stay in their cars. And that's why they get so great that there's going to be a rental complex for homeless families. It's going to be built in downtown Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's going to be really, really meaningful. It'll be a percentage of their income or whatever they can afford.
So we've had a lot of people who are retired that's been on our show in the past. And I know of people. I just met a retired pilot, and he is grieving for the loss of putting on his uniform, walking through the airport. That respect that came with being a pilot. He's literally grieving. And I told him, you know, there's a lot of places in Brevard where you can volunteer your time. But I think people are looking for a place that's organized, a place that they're not going to be wasting their time, that if they're on a schedule, it's like that. What do you say to someone like that who is in that process of, I mean, there's a certain limitation to being a pilot once with eyesight and all that. And so he had to give it up. So what do you say to somebody who is asking, well, is it organized? Is it going to waste my time?
I think most of the nonprofits I've dealt with in this county are very focused and very well organized. The thing is, if you're getting some kind of lift from your profession, that the title you had, that you're not going to replace. I had people ask me that, saying, how can you leave the art museum? You work for the Philadelphia Museum of Art. It's so prestigious. I said, it's just a job. You know, it's not who I am at all. And I came to Brevard and I was a complete nobody, and that was fine. I met people, I got involved. So you can't there's nothing you can do to really retrieve that lost prestige that comes with the job title or with the uniform. But I think in most nonprofits, you can certainly have very organized times. They have very specific tasks they need performed. They can draw on any kind of skill set, and you can really give a lot back to your community.
Right. And when you volunteer, you're not really signing up for life. You are giving time that you have to give. Nobody's saying it's a given. It's mandatory.
Right.
You know, it's not like an in-service at work where you have to show up. You just look at your schedule and you say, well, I have X amount of time to give, and look around for a place that could use you that time.
It's funny, though, but I feel like I have to be there. I just would go crazy if I didn't get up at 6 on Sundays. And I usually sleep until about 9. I'm a late sleeper, but it's like my eyes just go open. I have to be there. I have to start cutting up those pies.
Yeah. So so the Daily Bread in Melbourne, where exactly is it at? And do you know their website if somebody wants to go on and look at the events and
yes,
the things that they want to get
Bread
involved?
DailyBreadInc.org. It's on Fee Avenue, and it's just west of the train track, just west of Route 1 and before you get to the public library. So it used to be an old biker bar, and then it became the soup kitchen. And then after many, many years of the NIMBYs, the not in my backyard people fighting, we were able to build an administrative building, and that's where all of our facilities are now for bathing and showering and doing
yeah
that.
And the Daily Bread is also counseling and offering social services for people as well.
Absolutely, that's a critical part of it.
Yeah,
help people up.
Yeah. And I noticed on their website, I was reading about it this morning, and a gift of $25 feed one hungry person for an entire week. A gift of $50 provides clean clothes and shoes for 10 homeless or unemployed individuals. And, you know, I just want to say this on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. If someone has clothing or shoes or towels to give, don't give things with holes that are worn and tattered. Give good stuff. Yeah. Because these are people who, you know, by the grace of God, we want to keep their dignity as well. Yeah. Right.
Yes, and we want them to be able to be presentable for a job interview and that kind of thing. Though I will say, with towels, we will take anything because we use a lot of towels. It can be,
you know, I
rats.
Never had a towel.
Yeah.
You know what? I never had a towel as a child. I think I used a towel for the first time in my life when I was probably about 10.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I didn't have a good pair of shoes till I probably turned 10 or 11 either. But we used to use old T-shirts.
Oh.
My mother would keep the T-shirts with the holes in them because if somebody can't wear them, we could use that to wipe our skin. And then when it got to a point where the T-shirt was so worn from, you know, drying yourself off and taking a bath, then we used it as a foot cloth to wipe the floors. We had so many uses for a T-shirt. I could write a whole book about
sure
18
like
brothers
the,
and sisters.
It was
and
like
a
the life cycle of a T-shirt.
It was.
Well, we do that with towels at Daily Bread because we give them one to stand on so that they don't pass along any foot diseases or anything, and then one for their body, one for their hair if they want it. We use them as rags, so we just go through a bazillion towels. We don't care how ripped up or full of holes the towels are. We'll use them. We'll find something.
So and the website goes on to say that a gift of $100 would allow 10 homeless individuals to have access to a hot shower and grooming supplies. So you do ask the public if they have combs and new things, combs and brushes and soaps and shampoos. They could drop it off?
Yeah, we ask people, especially for the travel size things, because that's what's so perfect when people are coming in to take a shower, that if you have those little hotel shampoos and anything, you know, toothpaste, soap.
So people who are traveling extensively, you scrape everything out of that hotel room. Because I do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I figure if you're paying for the room,
might
you're
well
paying for
the
soap, the shampoo, the conditioner. Sheesh, I'll even take the tissue if I had to. But because I'm from a country where, you know, when I go to Trinidad, I take it from my sisters. I give it to my friends, you know, and they really appreciate it, you know. And also a gift of $500 would provide social support and case management for 10 individuals. So how many people are employed at Daily Bread? I mean, they have to pay for all this through donations? Do they get any funding from the state?
No, it's mostly donations and private funding because they just want to be able to keep their independence. So there's only about 4 people, I believe, who are full-time employees, and there are a lot of part-time employees. And a number of the clients are also part-time employees because we try to give preference to people who are, you know, using our services and who want to you know, be more involved in the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah. And Joanna, you know, by you getting involved with the Daily Bread, just like we had other friends that got all of us involved with Serene Harbor, you have the tendency to bring people in because you're honest, you have a lot of integrity, and I respect you a lot. And so I will tell my friends about the Daily Bread and if they have things to donate as well. I also know a lot of businesses that are always looking to partner up with places, and I know the Daily Bread also does that.
Yes, absolutely. We've got a lot of support from the business community. We've been very fortunate that way.
And a lot of churches and social organizations as well, they partner up with Daily Bread as well.
Yes, most of our servers come from religious organizations, and they give one day a month to serve. So we wouldn't even be able to open without the volunteers. It's really critical.
And how wonderful it is for mothers and fathers of young children who have young children to set an example and take the children there so that they could learn about compassion. You know, we're lacking compassion in the United States. As a long-term care nurse, and you know, you've seen my Facebook, I say this all the time. People, we live in a society where when something is old, we throw it away.
Yeah.
When we don't like something anymore, we get a new one. And I think it's good to have places like Daily Bread where you can bring the children to learn and see. And like you say, if you've had a life of privilege where you never had to worry about turning on the lights and getting electricity or where your next meal is coming from, for children to see that, what would you say to a mom or dad who's looking for a place to bring a child?
Well, I've seen it in person. I was having trouble getting volunteers for Easter because even people who aren't religious all go out to lunch or do something family oriented on Easter. So I called the Islamic Society of South Brevard, and this wonderful family came the day before to decorate, and they had the little kids, so all the decorations were about 2 feet off the ground because they were so small. But they just, you know, they were from a fairly privileged family, and they just got to see that they were helping children also come in who weren't as fortunate as them. And it was just that one-on-one of a four-year-old meeting a four-year-old that I think can be life-changing for a child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when you were looking forward to retirement, did you ever have this vision in your head, this is what you would be doing? Or were you like people who say, well, when I retire, I'm going to take trips and I'm going to go away? I mean, you do all of that still, but you seem to have devoted your life to us here in Brevard and what's going on with all these nonprofits and organizations.
It just seemed to be a natural evolution for me because I just get involved and I plunge in and I just start doing things. And it just, I like to be active, I like to be busy, and I feel like I have a duty really as a Christian to give back because I've been very fortunate. And even as you do unto the least of your brethren, you do unto me is a lesson I hold very dear.
So for that one person who is probably going to listen into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends City and need that extra push to that have time, they're retired, they have Social Security, they've invested well, and they can afford to give back, but they're just sitting on the fence and trying to figure out what to do next, what would you say to that person?
Well, if you're not sure if you're going to be good at interacting with the people or you feel a little odd about it, there are other things you can do. You can go to the warehouse and you can sort canned goods and you can, you know, this food comes in all the time and it has to be organized and redistributed. And there's a lot of things you can do if you're a little uneasy about the one-on-one with people who are in a very different circumstance than you. There's still positive things you can do to contribute.
So don't close the book on your life. There's a next chapter to be written, and it's a beautiful chapter about retirement and giving back.
Yeah, active retirement, what a lot of people want to do.
Yeah. Well, I know we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back with our second segment with Athena Allen.
Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well. And delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on WWBC AM 1510. We're also on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Ellen Little, my fabulous co-host and my friend, is here. And we just heard from our friend Joanna
Hines.
And she talked about her activism.
Joanna Star Hines.
That's right. Don't forget the big part.
Yeah. And she talked about, you know, why it's important to volunteer, not just in Brevard, but anywhere. I always say, if you're not actively employed, bringing in a little paycheck, what are you doing? Wake up. Go teach a kid to read. You know, pick up trash. You know, save the beaches. Do something with animals. I mean, there are so many people that wake up every day and just wander around needlessly, not doing anything to help humanity. Get off and do something.
Yeah, there's plenty of people.
If Joanna could plan her life around feeding people at the Daily Bread or volunteering at various causes all over Brevard County, everybody else can do it too. And we're not asking you to give a whole full 8-hour shift. Mm-hmm. My goodness, just an hour would be great.
Absolutely.
Anything. Right?
Everyone needs help.
Yes, yeah. Everyone needs something. And so a second segment is about spirituality and the beaches and sunrise and finding what works for you and giving back to yourself and your friends and making yourself feel good, healing yourself from inside out through whatever wonders we have in this universe. And so we have Athena Allen here, and she's going to talk to us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Sita. I created SIFSG Productions Smile. It feels so good. Productions in 2015 of May. The production company revolves around all of my interests. The main interest is yoga, meditation, and spirituality. I have a little bit of comedy in there. If you go to SIFSG Productions, you'll see a lot of my yoga stuff. I'm keeping the comedy separate for now, and we have a couple of things on there that we sell: third eye meditation, aromatherapy pillow, Omit t-shirts that on the back it says when life knocks you down, on the front it says just Omit. And I'll explain what Om means as well.
Yeah, I know what Om means, mm-hmm. because being Hindu, that's something we grew up with.
There you go.
I know what Namaste is, and you're so right. You know, there's something about calming yourself down and your system down and getting into a place that's quiet, or even a place of beauty, a place that you can call home from your heart and say Om, and it does something to you. So tell me, why do you Om it?
I want to tell you first that in my Yoga Teachers Alliance certification, when I was starting to study for that, I thought that yoga was all about the poses, the getting into a pose and stretching your body. It is so much more than that. Yoga is union, body, mind, and spirit, connected through the breath. And I particularly specialize in my yoga class of connecting this prana energy of breath flowing through you, the mind, the body, and opening up this beautiful spirit of love within. And I'd like to demonstrate, Joanna, Ellen, and Sita, and guests out there, if you're driving, just keep your eyes open and pay attention. But I'd like you to come into a calm state of mind. And by doing this, I would like you to breathe in and out through the nose with the mouth closed. So we're going to take our hands, for those of us who are sitting down, place your phones aside. Put your tips of your thumbs together and cup your hands in your lap and just rest them. If you can, close your eyes. And as your eyes are closed, I want you to start breathing in and out through the nose with the mouth closed. The inhale is 1, 2, 3, 4. Fill in the body all the way with breath. And then slowly exhaling. 5, 6, 7, 8. And on the exhale, your shoulders are dropping, your elbows are dropping. You're feeling relaxed, and you're sitting up still. And you're starting to feel a healing, warm light growing inside of you. At the solar plex area, just underneath the rib cage, called the Manipura Chakra, that energy wheel is growing brighter and brighter, and warmer and warmer. And now you're starting to feel the warm sensation in your palms as well. And in this palm sensation of warmth and inside of your solar plex, start the breath. Inhale. 1, 2, 3, 4. And slowly exhale. 5, 6, 7. And each time you inhale, that growing white light is like a dimmer switch on the wall, growing brighter and brighter inside of you, warmer and warmer. And it's a comforting sensation, like you're cuddling underneath the blankets and you feel all cuddly.
Well, it's certainly the benefits of yoga, Ellen.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
I see Ellen is shaking her head.
Yes.
So certainly these are benefits of yoga. And one of the things that I learned as a child about yoga was it really is good for breathing.
Oh.
Exercises, because you are what you think, breathe, eat, and actually sleep as well.
And that feeling sensation of warmth grows inside of you. You start to feel the love. Now take those hands that are cupped into your lap and place them over your heart. And when you place them over your heart and you're breathing in that strong deep breath and out, you start to feel a love inside of you that grows more and more each time. When you're in this meditative state grows inside of you to a deeper concentration of self-love. And when you love yourself, wouldn't you agree, Sita?
Yes.
That love expands to others around you. It's at arm's length, well, and it starts to grow more and more.
Well, I think when you put value on yourself, you can put value on the environment, you can put value on people in your lives, and you could put value on people that come into your space or yourself,
yes,
right? So if someone is doing yoga, how long should they be doing yoga?
In yoga, like we just described, the breath. Yoga is first breath. You connect that breath to your body in the movements. So say you're in an asana, a yoga pose. A very popular yoga pose is standing Tadasana, which is mountain pose. With the hands to the heart, you're standing erect, your toes are facing forward, and your shoulders are rolling down your back. And in this pose, you're breathing in that long yogic breath that we just breathed in. You're concentrating on that breath connected to body. And when you concentrate on that breath connected to body, you're in the here and now. Because what happens to most of us? We're thinking of what's going to happen in the future, what's going to happen in the past. We're whirling, especially as us being women, 1,000 things are going on inside of our minds. Well, when we take that concentration, even if we're sitting in the car and we're at a stoplight and we take a deep breath.
You're in the moment.
You're in the moment.
You're living in the moment.
You're connecting to the moment of now, and you're calming your body, mind, and spirit through the connection of breath.
How do we get more people to pay attention? I mean, we all breathe. We say, you know, when you take in a breath, we talk about oxygen. We talk about, you know, the green spaces,
yes,
right? But people don't actually think about the most beautiful thing is that breath. Because I know as a nurse, how many patients we've had to chart on that says no respirations, no heart rate. Patient's gone, right? But it's that breath. We're looking, we're listen, look, and feeling for that breath. How do we get more people to pay attention to that breath?
By doing what you're doing now. You're taking the community that we're in right now, and we're making them aware of, you can sit right here and right now, you can breathe in strong and deep, and connect your body to breath and heal your body. Now there is all sorts of alternatives to medicine as well, and that is great because we need medicine in our lives. But when you connect the body, mind, and spirit, and we go out on the beach and do it, that's even more. Now
how did you get started doing it on the beach? Tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
When I came to Melbourne, I felt this fantastic and excited. Oh, I'm going on the beach, I'm going to watch the sunrise, and I'm going to do yoga, right? And I looked at my yoga videos in the morning on YouTube, and then I'm going to do those poses on the beach in the morning. That's what I'm going to do. So I get there, and I watch the sunrise. It is the most beautiful, awesome experience when you're grounding with the earth and your feet is touching the sand, and your toes are seeping through the sand grains. And you're looking at that beautiful sun come up over the horizon. You have reds and blues and purples. And there's a slight breeze that comes across your face and your body to kiss your face, to kiss your eyes, to flow across. And you feel alive in that moment with the breath. And then you're listening to the ocean crash against the waves. And you're feeling that soothing sensation inside your body. And when you breathe it all in one big, strong breath.
You're connected.
Oh, my gosh.
It's mind, body, and spirit connection.
It is a holy,
yes,
experience of, oh, my God, get me there every morning. I want to feel it. I want to walk along the beach.
Well, you know, that's what happened when we do our Hindu prayers.
Uh-huh.
And a priest, you know, sits down with you. They tell you to clear your mind, body, and spirit. Mm-hmm. You have to take that deep breath. And they chant and they say om and whatnot.
Yes.
And they connect you with the universe,
yeah,
right? But what if someone has an injury? Can they still do yoga?
Okay. This is, so a lot of, I study injuries. And like, for instance, a friend close by had a really deep sciatic nerve injury. What I do in each yoga class, that particular inspiration will teach me to teach that particular opening in the yoga class. So I will learn about the piriformis muscle runs through the hip area. and the gluteus maximus area. The nerve ending of the sciatic nerve comes up through the piriformis muscle, and if that muscle is tight, you need to alleviate and open up that pressure. So you want to do a forward bend in yoga. You want to do an opening in pigeon pose, and you want to be able to open that up through breath and a long, strong, deep breath. And you want to use at least 8 breaths at each time, going long and strong and opening it up. And how I came about learning about this opening and healing somebody through that, when you're in a yoga pose and you have a sciatic nerve opening and you're coming to a point where, it's too much, I can't bend forward, then you have to honor your body. That's where the yoga teacher...
Your body will tell you when to stop.
The body will teach you. Because most of the time when people are in a yoga class, and they're not going to tell the yoga teacher, I have a lower back on L5 and L4, and it's pinching my nerve because I have a subluxation in the spine. People don't always like to disclose that. But they're going to realize when they're in the opening of the pose, whoa, I need to back off a little bit. And in my particular classes, I teach variations. First variation, second variation, third variation. And I let people know you need to honor your body right now because this is a deep yogic opening, especially in the sciatic nerve area. And you're going to breathe through it nice and slow and deep, and you're going to come to a quietness in that pose. You're going to feel a 5 or 6 sensation. If you feel a 7 or 8, you're going to back off and open up and come up a little bit in the pose. So do you see where that distinction is?
Yes.
If you have injury, then you,
need
honor
to stop
your
right.
body.
So
yes.
We've done so many shows, Ellen. We've done a lot of shows about pain management.
Yes.
We've had people that come in the studio and talk about CBD, and we talked about opioid addictions. We talk about Narcan. And oftentimes our guests, and we've all agreed that yoga, meditation, all these things are part of the healing process. I feel sometimes like we do have a pushback. Why is it so? Is it because people are not allowing themselves to be educated about yoga?
Exactly.
Or crush that stigma associated with it? Yeah. How do we get more people to see that it does help?
When someone says yoga, meditation, I don't do that. That's great. I'm glad you don't do that. Do you breathe? And just take a deep breath right now and inhale and exhale and breathe long and strong and deep. And you, when you start off with an opening of love and understanding where they're coming from, where you're coming from, audience, then you're more able to open up through that peace. Okay, maybe let me go ahead and try it. Let me give you an example.
Maybe, Joanna, I'm just thinking maybe if you all ever have people that come to the Daily Bread, a beautiful 10-minute exercise of learning how to breathe might change someone's life. What do you think?
I think they'd be a little skeptical, frankly, because it's just foreign to their experience.
Right.
So far.
It is, isn't it? Because I don't think enough people talk about these things, the mind, body, and spirit connection. Because I know that's one of the things, that's one of the ways that we were able to deal with poverty when we were children, because we had that connection to spirituality. So you were saying?
When you find, you meet myself as a communicator. I have to communicate to my students, I have to communicate to you, the audience, that this connection to your body, this connection to spirit, is breath. And when you close your eyes and you breathe, just like we did the exercise in the front, you're going to find that connection. And when you start to slowly meditate more and more, then you're going to find a power inside of you that is magnificent. I have a healing ceremony coming up on April the 7th. It's a full moon healing ceremony. And it is on Paradise Beast, 113 Paradise Boulevard in Melbourne, Florida, 7 p.m.
So what do you say to people who might want to come, and this goes with what Joanna does at the Daily Bread, they'd like to attend but they can't because they don't have transportation, they're dealing with so many crises in their lives, that these kind of things, they say, I can't do it.
That's fine. A lot of people can't join us. The reason I call it Live Sunrise Beach Yoga for my sunrise classes on Saturday is because I film it live Facebook every day, every Saturday.
So they can get on social media and watch.
You can go to
I see you're nodding.
I.
Yes.
FSG Productions on Facebook. like the page, and you will be tuned into all the sorts of yoga.
So you can't make an excuse if you don't have a car. You can't, as long as you have Wi-Fi.
Yes, Sita.
And you could get to a safe spot. Mm-hmm. You can watch and join.
Yes.
Because one of the things we do at the soup kitchen is make sure everyone has a smartphone, because it's sort of their lifeline if they live in the woods.
Yes.
So they can get on Facebook with that.
So every Saturday at sunrise, these particular month is 7, 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock classes. 7 o'clock, we have a donations class. 8 o'clock, we have a yoga boot camp, which is a little bit more vigorous and tough. And then at 9 o'clock, we have a live walking yoga. Now, most of you are saying, well, what is live walking yoga? Well, we do upper body and lower body stretching, exercising, breathing while you're walking. It is the most spiritual opening while you're walking, because we concentrate on the structure, yes, of your walk, but we also concentrate on the moment that you're in. So when you're walking down the beach, when you're walking down a natural path, nature in general seeps into the body. It helps you to breathe that endorphins inside of your body, and it feeds the basilar artery in back of your brain, in the center of your brain, and it that large artery in the center of your brain feeds the cerebral arteries. Those cerebral arteries come to the front of your lobes, and this is just a little technical part of the yoga class I like to teach. And when that happens, you're able to open up, breathing in deep, and the tightness in your body. I get tightness in my body, and when I breathe in deeper, longer, and stronger, that tightness opens up to where I feel alleviating pressure. And when you do that over a period of time, more and more, so hence, why should I continue to do yoga?
Right.
Because the yoga helps you in your daily life to feel the flow and feel better. When you're feeling better, Sita, audience, doesn't life start to flow a lot better? So you're able to handle, oh my God, something's happened to my family. Oh my God, something's happened to my career. Whatever financial setback you're in, you're able to handle it in a better way, and you're able to say, okay, let me change this negative into a positive. And let's for just a minute talk about negative to positive. Okay, when you're finding a negative in your life and it's coming to you face value, what's the first thing that we do? We go into a wallop of, I feel angry, I feel sad, a debilitating emotion that puts you into a state of anxiety.
So what you're saying is
stress.
So everything that happens has a way of turning itself around.
Yes, ma'am.
And you could find a positive in it.
Yes, ma'am.
And I believe that too, but I think a lot of us have cluttered our mind.
Yes, ma'am.
And in order to get to that point where we could appreciate yoga and appreciate our breath, we got to slow down a bit.
Yes.
And prioritize.
Yes.
And I think that happens when you hit 50. Mm-hmm. I think when you hit 50, something happens and you say, I see you nodding.
Yeah.
You start prioritizing, and certain friends has to go because they're bringing in negative energy. Certain habits have to go because it's bad for you. I mean, Joanna, would you agree that that happens when you turn 50?
Absolutely. In my 50s, I got rid of a lot of the sort of vampire, energy vampires in my life.
That's a good analogy.
I know. We had a show about that where we talked about what happens when you don't let negative people rent space in your head.
That's right.
Because when they do, they're taking away your power of being happy. And you're right about one thing.
You just touched the tip on the head, okay? When we get angry, it's usually at somebody or at something, right? Okay? We use automatically as humans that thing or that person to take away our power. We are the most powerful people that we think we are. So if you are strong-minded in the body, if you feel strong in the body, then you're strong-minded. If you're strong-minded, you have that confidence to ward off, that person is not going to get me down. That thing is not going to get me down. That circumstance is not going to get me down. And you're able to...
Well, you're not going to allow them to do
there
it.
There you go.
And the other thing, too, I find, like, in addition to yoga, meditation, massages, all those things come with time. I mean, as people progress, you know, you have to have money for your rent, your car insurance, your health insurance, your food. You have to be able to live in order to appreciate all these wonderful things. But what you're offering is a free studio on the beach.
Yes.
No one has to come there and say, well, I can't afford this. I mean, of course, I'm sure you do charge for your time.
We have donations on the first class, and I they're always appreciated.
So no brick and mortar place.
No, no. The yoga boot camp is only $5, and the walking yoga is only $5. If you want to give more, that's great. But honestly, I would get everything away for free, but I need to
the print materials,
money
and things.
For equipment and stuff
yes,
like
yes,
that.
Yes, 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 yes.
Money for equipment
so,
and stuff like
you
that.
You know, one of the most powerful things I have learned in my life is the power of forgiveness.
Oh, yes.
And I think when you do yoga, when you meditate, when you appreciate the mind, body, and spirit connection, if you've hurt someone in your lifetime, it's so easy, right, to say, I am sorry, whether it's a family, a friend, a coworker, those, it's so powerful to be able to take this breath that the good Lord gave us and that beautiful sound of I'm sorry. Do you find that as well?
I do. And you're touching on a really big subject, forgiveness. Forgiveness starts with you first, because sometimes we don't know what we need to forgive first about ourselves. And when I teach forgiveness on the beach, I connect the elements together and the breath together. And when you're building the density in your body, you're building that strength inside your body through the yoga pose and connected to the breath, you're building that strength in your mind. And you feel stronger, you feel more confident, and you feel like I have the power.
You could take on the world is
yes,
mine.
Ma'am. Yes,
so what
ma'am.
Do you say to people who are skeptical about yoga? Because, I mean, I watch Sadhguru videos, and he's a yogi, and he's talking, I think you know who he is. And he's changed my life because he talks about friends and, you know, friendship and forgiveness and food and finances. And he also touches about financial literacy and all these things because as you enjoy your breath, yourself, your spirit, your body, your mind, everything around you changes. Everything around you changes and how you see the world changes, exactly. Right? So what do you say to somebody who's skeptical about yoga?
I start and I ask them about them. I get personable with them because it's not about me. I'm just the teacher. I'm just the guide. When you start to get to know somebody, it makes them feel important, and it makes you feel good that you could at least talk to them about what they were doing. A guy on the beach was talking to me about his sister that he hadn't seen in 10 years, and he went to see her, and he was talking to me on the beach, and I said, listen, you can just watch us do video, or you can come and join us if you want to. Guy who'd never done yoga before, he works as putting up signs in the street, and I said, you are the most important person because I got to know about him, and I gave him this bracelet. And I said, listen, I want to give you this bracelet. And you can give it away if you want to. And I want you to know that this bracelet represents love. It's just plastic beads and a string.
Well, you know what you did? You listened.
Yes.
How many of us are so busy in our daily lives that we don't take the time to listen? We talk about listening. We talk about communication. We talk about why so many marriages fail and so many people lose their job because of lack of communication, right? Give us your website before we finish our segment.
SIFSG Productions.
I see Ellen
Facebook
is.
Facebook page.
One more time.
SIFSG Productions Facebook page. You'll find most of our work there.
Ellen, take mm-hmm. it away.
Thank you so much for another fantastic edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thank you, Athena. Thank you, Joanna Star Hines, since everybody loves Star. Your name so much.
Like Brenda Star.
That's
remember
right,
that
exactly.
comic strip?
And make sure you tune in next week, folks, for another great edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on 1510 WWBC.
I'm going to be brief on the way home.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.